It's our city building segment. Every Wednesday morning, just after 10 o'clock, we talk about really cool things, to be honest. Everything from, you know, housing solutions to reclaiming spaces like alleys and turning them into really interesting and fun places to be. Public art to cycling. You know, transportation is huge in our city. Getting around. And when I think of Windsor, I mean, I think cars are kind of synonymous with the area. We have Detroit, the Motor City. Windsor, we are a car-making town. Our bread and butter is the auto industry in a lot of ways. But are we a biking town? Could we be a biking town? An exhibit currently being shown at Museum Windsor points to a rich cycling history and maybe hints at the possible future of cycling here in Windsor. Maybe it's the way to go. Museum Windsor currently showing a new exhibition at the Chimneyshop Museum that explores Windsor's cycling history. It's going to be up for about 6 months, so I highly recommend you check it out. It's fascinating. Joining us in the studio right now to talk about Cycling City from the University of Windsor, law professor and a big advocate for cycling, guest curator Chris Waters. Chris, good morning and welcome to the studio.
Thanks very much, Dan. Good morning.
And before we talk about the exhibit, what got you into cycling? When did it all begin for you?
You know, let me just give a backstory in a sense.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the things I'm most excited about in the museum is that there's a corner for kids, and I was really insistent that we have something there because they get to squeeze a horn, ring a gong, they get to turn a wheel and hear beads fall, they have another one with cards in the middle. And all this hints back to the joy that all of us felt when first riding a bike,
yeah.
Right? And so, yeah, there's a seriousness of intent with the museum. But really, when it comes right down to it, I want everyone to feel the joy that they felt the first time they managed to be out of their parent or guardian's hands and riding on their own, and how cool that felt and how liberating. So that's how I got into it, probably the same way as everybody else.
It's so funny when you met the nostalgia you just sparked in me with the card and the spokes. Like, I remember that I had a card in my bike too as a kid. I had a little mini BMX bike. And for me, as a kid in the 1980s, my bike was freedom to me. Like, summer vacation, all we did every morning, we would wake up. No one had to push me out of the house. First thing I did was eat breakfast. And then I was out the door on my bike meeting up with my friends and we go exploring. Was that kind of your thing
too? Absolutely. Yeah. And that's a common story that a lot of people have. And so one of the questions I ask in the museum exhibit is, did you have that feeling when you were a kid? And do we have it now? Do our kids have it now? And if they don't, how do we get it back? So that actually is part of the story here, is that for children, bicycles were freedom. And now I think there's lots of kids who still ride around. My kids ride around, but I'm wary of where they ride and when they ride and, of course, how they ride. And I'm really wary of how it's easy to blame drivers, and there are lots of, distracted drivers and so on. But I'm really wary of how safe our streets are in terms of the infrastructure, And so, I do get into some of that in the museum as well. I don't want to hammer people over the head and be pedantic or be sanctimonious. But, I really want to ask the question in a serious way. How do we get families? How do we get older people? How do we get younger people out on their bikes? And, of course, it happens right now. I know lots of people ride, right? You don't have to look further than open streets to realize that there are literally thousands of people in the city who, when they feel safe, will be out on their bikes with their families.
Yeah.
And that's kind of cool. And so it's partly about exploring the past and partly about, as you've said in your introduction, exploring the future as well.
So what was it for you that it stuck? Because I think most of us, especially those of us of a certain age, we did have that childhood of biking around. It was freedom. It was wonderful. Our bike was our way to get around and connect with people and everything. Why, for so many of us, did we stop doing that? Or why did you continue? What was it that stuck with you?
For me, the bike is primarily a tool. It has a utilitarian purpose. That's how at least I started. As a student, yeah. I didn't have a car, didn't want a car, couldn't afford a car. As I matured, I now have a car, but if I can possibly take my bike, I will. And I think to myself, why wouldn't I? Helps me stay in shape. I mean, my wife will tell you that I'm not, in as good shape as I should be, but it helps me stay in some sort of shape. I save money. It's better for the environment. I see my neighbors. There was a guy today, just an ordinary civilian, if you will, picking up garbage along the side of the road. And I was able to stop and chat on the way here this morning to say, hey, thanks for doing that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have done that in my car. I wouldn't have pulled over in my car. I would have been threatening and intimidating and where would I put it anyway? So whenever I possibly can take my bike, I do. But I drive sometimes. And for me, it's about having a bicycle and other forms of active transportation, notably for me being a pedestrian, as part of our, and we're all pedestrians, right?
Right.
As part of our transportation mix. And just getting away from the reflex of thinking, oh, I've got to go somewhere. I've got to take the car.
Right. Well, it's funny. You know, I'm an avid walker. I walk a lot around town. During the pandemic, especially, I started just to get out of the house. I was working at the house. I needed a break. I'd go for these long 2-3 hour walks. And it was amazing how much I learned about the city just by walking by places I'd normally drive by and not even notice. Businesses that I live like blocks away from that I did not know even existed. But most importantly, it was connecting with people. Like you said, so many times I'd see somebody riding their bike and they'd stop side of the curb, you know, leg up, and we'd have this little conversation that we never would have had before. But I feel like I'm not as connected to the cycling community as you are. I feel like in Windsor, there's almost like three categories. You can correct me if I'm wrong here when it comes to cycling. Cycling advocates, people who just don't and never will. And then there are some who kind of give it like an eye roll. There seems to be a bit of pushback. Is that accurate? And why the eye roll, do you think, from some people?
Yeah, I think part of it is a culture thing, right? We've grown up this idea. We've bought the story that we're only a motor city, right? And I think we should be proud of manufacturing cars.
Sure,
here.
Yeah.
As, you know, lots of generations of families have made decent livings with the car industry, and there's a lot of pride in the things we manufacture here. But I think it also narrows our vision a little bit when we think of ourselves as only in the motor city. And look, Dan, you mentioned Detroit, and Detroit's doing some really cool things with cycling.
Incredible.
As well. And,
yeah.
And it's also the motor city, right?
Yeah.
So I don't think there's anything that needs to limit our imagination. And one of the things I want to say with the exhibit, and I hope people will come and check it out because there's some really cool things, is that Windsor has always been a cycling city. It's just factually incorrect to say this is the motor city and that's all we are. One of the things I'm most excited about in the museum is that we have a bike that was produced by Evans and Dodge. Mm. And if you think to yourself immediately, hey, Dodge, is that the Dodge brothers of Dodge car fame? That's right. Because before they built cars, they built bikes. And so we have an E&D wow. bike, an Evans and Dodge bike, that was manufactured literally steps from the museum. And
oh,
it's so,
so
and there's
cool.
only about 3 or 4 left in the world, as far as I know. And we have one. It was found on a scrap heap by a gentleman near Elmira. And he fixed it up, refurbished it, and just before the museum opened, my colleagues at the Southern Ontario Vintage Bicycle Show, Corey and Mark McGuire, went and picked it up and brought it. And so it was sort of a late addition to the exhibit, but it's now the centerpiece because it says right on the label, made in Windsor. And how cool
Too
is that for
cool.
a manufacturing city to have a bike that was made here in 1897,
oh.
right at Olette and the ferry docks?
Well, I always find the more we learn about our history, the more we better understand our city and respect it. And I want to talk more specifically about the exhibit when we come back. Joined in studio this morning by a guest curator at Museum Windsor, Chris Waters. The exhibit is going on right now, Chimchuck Museum. It's fantastic. Definitely recommend you check it out. We'll talk more about what is in this exhibit when we come back. Keep it here. It's the Dan McDonald Show on AM 800. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. It's Dan McDonald, city building segment. You know, we always talk on this segment about the connective tissue, and I really think cycling is a great metaphor for the connective tissue that makes a great city. You know, it's connectivity through neighborhoods, it's accessibility, it's infrastructure, it's relating more to your community and your surroundings. And I always say the better you understand where you're from, the more you respect it, the more you want it to rise up and you take pride in it. And I love that. Cycling is a big, big part of city building. There's a great exhibit going on right now at Chimchuck Museum, Cycling City. And joining us in studio, Windsor Law professor and guest curator of the show, Chris Waters, joining us. And Chris, I got a text. You know, I know you're a huge cycler in the city, always around. Hey, you even brought your bike to the studio today, which is great. And someone texted in saying they have to fix the potholes before it's safe to ride bikes on Windsor roads. And I don't disagree with them there. Your thoughts on our Windsor roads and street safety from that sense?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I would like to see the roads smooth. But one of the things that's interesting to me from a historic perspective is that cyclists were the first in the city and more generally across the country to push for paved roads.
Mm.
And so there's a sort of an irony that over time, cyclists to some extent got pushed off the roads and had to sort of, you know, bring their way back into it. I mean, there's a couple of things to say in that regard. One is, yeah, you have to choose your route carefully. I always do, and I that's one of the things I think about. The second thing is that cars, and in particular this kind of disturbing trend, in my view, towards larger trucks and larger SUVs, they cause a lot more damage to our roads. Bicycles are footprint friendly, if you will.
Yeah.
So, yes, I think your listener is absolutely right. The you know, the roads need to be smoothed, and it can create a hazard for cyclists. But you gotta choose your route carefully.
Yeah.
And And yeah, I agree.
Every once in a while, I will do a roll call on the show and say, okay, tell us which roads need the most love. Like the one that pops up to me, because I take it often coming to work, is Giles Boulevard, particularly going west from the Walkerville area to downtown to connecting there. There are some potholes. They could double as jacuzzis. They're so big. And it's like, that's, but I always have people call in, where do we need some love? And shout out to the city. We need to focus on these areas. Yeah. But you know, this exhibit that's going on right now, I believe it's going on for about 6 months. Tell us a bit about some of the pieces that are showcased in this exhibit.
Sure. Well, I'm really excited to have the Evans and Dodge bicycle that was built in 1897, so cool. Steps from the museum. So that's very cool for me. What I also like is there's a wartime bike. We have a bike from 1943, a CCM. And if you look at it, it's got wooden pedals and leather handle grips. During the war, bicycles were rationed and you had to have special permission to get a bicycle, a new bicycle. And so it was available to people who needed it to get to work, or students could also apply for a special permit to get a bicycle. But these bicycles, wanted to conserve rubber, amongst other materials. So you have the wooden pedals and you got leather handle grips.
Wow.
Right after the war, they went back to rubber pedals and rubber handle grips. So I'm very excited about that. One of the other things I love is, I was never into racing. As I said, I'm a commuter bicyclist.
Sure, yeah.
I enjoy it. I do it for recreation as well sometimes. But primarily, I'm a commuter. But there's a whole racing scene in Windsor that I didn't know about, and it's really exciting. And it's not new. In the 1890s, Windsor bicycling clubs were huge, and they cycled all over the county. There was a cross-border dimension to it as well. Detroit cyclists from all over the Midwest would come across the ferry with their bikes and cycle around southern Ontario. So some really cool sort of cross-border aspects. And I just might say I'm excited about the fact that the Gordie Howe Bridge will allow free access for pedestrians and cyclists. So that's really cool. And I think will be a big spur to cross-border cycle tourism. But, you know, the racing thing has been so much fun to learn more about the Little Italy races. We have an Olympian in Windsor, Kellyanne Way.
Right.
And she was the first Canadian of any gender to wear the yellow jersey in a stage of the Tour de France. And that's there along with Kellyanne's medals.
Oh,
so there's some
so
really
cool
stuff. And frankly, things that I didn't know anything about. So, you know, I knew about the commuting thing, right? I knew about the law piece of it. And there's things like license plates and so on.
Right.
But I didn't know much about the retail. And we've got some really cool stuff from there. We didn't know much about racing, and we've got some great stuff on that. We didn't know much about the cross-border tourism, and we've got some good stuff on that. So for me, it's been a real eye-opener in terms of the various dimensions from manufacturing to cyclists from Detroit that I didn't know about. All I thought about before was, hey, I'm enjoying my bicycling route along the river to the university, or or going in one direction on Giles, that kind of thing.
How did you even go about compiling all the pieces in here? Like, how do you put that call out, and who did you contact? Like, how did you acquire all the pieces in this exhibit?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's some folks, Mark and Corey McGuire in Amherstburg, who have a Southwest Ontario vintage bicycle show, and they do that once a year. And I went up there, and they have just some amazing, amazing bikes, CCM primarily throughout all the ages, and they open their show up in every August. I can't remember the date this year, but it's available on their website. And they were very kind in lending us some pieces. As I mentioned, this a gentleman up in Elmira lent us his Evans and Dodge bicycle, one of only three or four around. And we put out a call, and some really interesting stuff came through there. So there's one lady, Ms. Miranda, I forget her first name, and she wrote to say, I have a Schwinn from 1960.
Wow.
It's a beautiful lime green. I saved up for this bike by babysitting, and I've kept it all these years and used it all these years. And to have some personal backstories on the bikes like that, that are in there, and it is really a beautiful specimen from 1960 or thereabouts, is really fun. And then finally, I went up to Ottawa, and we have our National Science and Technology Museums there. And I went behind the scenes and spoke to one of the curators, and they have literally dozens of interesting old bikes. So one of the things we have is a high wheeler. Sometimes people call it a penny farthing. And that's fun. It looks treacherous.
But it's had that massive front wheel, and you almost sit right on top of that front wheel.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right? You can go really fast, but balance is an issue, and safety is an issue. And the other thing we have that's really interesting, and the earliest bike in the exhibit is from 1869, roughly, and it's a velocipede, it's called, or a bone shaker, because it had just wood and metal tires.
A whole lot of shocks on that thing.
No, it's not exactly. So it was a bone shaker for good reasons. And so those pieces came to us from Ottawa. And just some really quirky stuff, like a Walkerville bicycling racing ribbon from the 1890s.
Wow.
You know, a badge from a cyclist division in the Canadian Army from, I believe, the First World War. So just all kinds of quirky things like that, tons of CCM stuff. And you can follow the evolution of the bikes through the ages. They're sort of set out in chronological order, and they're and most of them are in really fantastic shape.
Now, your thoughts, how bike friendly is Windsor present day, and what do we need to work on, do you think? Are we a bike friendly city?
You know, the infrastructure is there. You know, it's in a sense, it's the most moderate in terms of climate.
Right, yeah.
It's flat. The bones of our core are good. You can get lots of places within a relatively short time within our urban core. You know, and there has, and I don't want to, I don't want to say there hasn't been progress, because there has, you know, fixing the Dougal death trap, for example, was a really big thing for cyclists. And so I think we need to take stock and say, hey, there's some great things happening. But obviously there's a lot more that we could do. And I think most people recognize that. I think we need to take seriously a commitment to Vision Zero, the idea that there doesn't have to be pedestrian and cyclist deaths, right? That vulnerable road users should be protected on our streets. And part of that's culture. Part of that's about enforcement. But it's going to be mostly about designing streets to be safer, and to be safer for kids, to be safer for older people, to be safer for people of all abilities. And so I think there's a lot more work to be done in terms of infrastructure and having people feel secure on their bikes. You know, you're always going to get young men out. I'm not so young anymore, but you're always going to get guys, like, cycling skews heavily male in Windsor. But in terms of getting more women on the streets, getting more families on the streets, getting more older people on the streets, and look, there are hardcore people in each of those categories. But I think we need to think about how we design safer streets.
Absolutely. Well, the exhibit sounds amazing. Historical photographs, artifacts, bicycles dating from the late 1800s all the way to the 1960s. Chimchuck Museum, open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 5. Sundays from 11 to 5. Check it out, museumwindsor.ca. Chris Waters, it's a pleasure. Best of luck with the exhibit. I cannot wait to check it out. Thanks for joining us today.
Dan, thank you very much.
Absolutely. Chris Waters, more conversation continues next. Keep it here. It's the Dan McDonald Show on AM 800.